and click on Medina's.
Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Oh, man, I love it, and I hate it. I love it, and I hate it. I love it, the news cycle, the crazy stuff going on in the world, because it makes my job easier. And I say job, I use that term loosely. I don't ever feel like I have a job, really. I mean, I do, but I don't. It doesn't feel like quote-unquote work. It doesn't feel like a quote-unquote job. But going through these stories, and sometimes these types of stories just bring me down, and I'm like, oh, man. But they're fascinating, and they definitely engage a biblical worldview, and hopefully they break your heart and engage what you know about God's word, and you apply all at the same time. And remember that this isn't all there is, and our 70 or 80 years of life, if you're blessed to live a long life, is just a proverbial drop in the bucket compared to a future where all this stuff is gone. All this garbage, all this crapola, it's all gone, okay? No more tears, no more crying, no more pain, no more sickness, no more cancer, no more bills, none of that. It's all gone. But in the meantime, we try to do the best that we can to maintain our Christian witness, to be a light in a dark world, to be salt as well, and to engage the culture around us and the news and everything else with grace and truth, John chapter 1, verse 14, and to share the gospel, which I'll get to at the end of the show, some awesome stories to finish with. So we're going to go down into the depths first, but by the end of the show, I have two really encouraging stories that I'm excited to share with you. But we'll start just, and I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time with this, because we're going to be spending the next, 12 months dealing with this whole impeachment mess, right? So now Nancy Pelosi says Attorney General Barr has gone rogue. I mean, the guy's got an impeccable record, and all of a sudden he's gone rogue, according to Nancy, who's painted herself into quite a little corner here, alleges a cover-up of the cover-up. So that's going on, right? And really, what choice did she have? The pressure was mounting. They were going to have to do something about impeachment. Right now she's playing it safe, though, because it's an inquiry into impeachment. It's not a formal charge of impeachment. They're not doing that yet. It's an inquiry. So it keeps the dogs at bay for a little bit, but I think they'll eventually get to a formal impeachment proceeding, and I think they'll vote to impeach. It'll go over to the Senate and most likely won't go anywhere. But this whole thing with Ukraine, which I just recently read, have you actually read the transcript between the President of the United States and the new President Zelensky of Ukraine? And you read it, and really what this is for Trump, he's going all the way back to try to uncover all this craziness that's gone on since he won the election, and beforehand, to figure out who's all in on this, what's going on here, and Ukraine is part of it. And so it's not about going after Joe Biden because Donald Trump is worried about Joe Biden, and who might, I don't think is going to win the primary, but might. And so we gotta sabotage Joe Biden. That's the way they're playing it. But you go read Trump's actual, like take the time. I know this is shocking. I know I'm way out on a limb there to suggest that we don't just believe what's being fed to us by either the right or the left in the media, but we actually go do our own homework. Go do your own work. You can look it up. Just look at the transcript for Trump's call with the Ukraine president and go read it. Go read it for yourself. Don't take anybody else's word from it, on the right or the left. And go read it for yourself, and you'll understand. That's what he's trying to do. He's trying to get to the bottom of all that stuff. Limbaugh was talking about this yesterday, I think. The whistleblower, right, the whistleblower in the White House was actually kind of a deep state plant from the CIA. Tied to who? Oh, that's right. What a shock. Tied to Brennan, who's now on the payroll at CNN and hates Trump. And so the whole thing is you just got the Trump derangement syndrome. Okay, you've heard that phrase over and over and over again, ad nauseum. There's a lot of validity to that. And it's just bizarre and crazy. So that's just continuing to go on. Shapiro had an article that I read. He doesn't write most of the stuff on the Daily Wire because he's busy doing all the other things that he's doing. But he wrote this one. This was entitled, Democrats Shift the Impeachment Goalpost. The Democrats do have a bit of a pickle on their hands, and that is a majority of the House does now support the impeachment inquiry. That was going to be obvious as soon as Nancy Pelosi endorsed this thing. It was pretty obvious that impeachment was going to happen. If you had put your money down, you'd say that impeachment happens in the House and nothing happens in the Senate. Why? Well, Nancy Pelosi cannot afford to announce an impeachment inquiry and then say, oh, by the way, we're not impeaching him. I mean, that's going to be a very rough move for her, Shapiro writes. If she puts impeachment on the table and then says, well, we couldn't come up with anything, so I guess it's okay. You see her problem? She's painted herself into this corner. They're just like with the Mueller report. Ooh, this is going to be good. And no, that didn't work out so well. But then let's get Mueller up on the stand. That'll go well. And that didn't go well at all. That blew up in their face. And now the Ukrainian thing. Oh, the call. The call to the Ukrainian president. And all that Trump's trying to do is sabotage the run of Joe Biden, and he's using a quid pro quo, and he's going to hold the money back. By the way, the decision to withhold some money from Ukraine happened 30 days before. It was already done. 30 days before the phone call. So all of a sudden, the transcript comes out, because I think Trump, in many ways, knows exactly what he's doing. And you read it, and it's another nothing burger, just like Mueller's testimony and just like overall the Mueller report. Now, there's some things in the Mueller report that I think are conduct unbecoming the office, but nothing impeachable and nothing illegal. So now, this is just wild what's going on here. But it shouldn't be a shock. You shouldn't be shocked by this. So don't lose your mind over it. And it's going to be political theater for a while. I think it's going to come back and blow up in the Democrats' house, in their face. But we'll see. 4% of Republicans and 73% of Democrats support impeachment. Did you hear that? 4% of Republicans and 73% of Democrats. However, overall, the majority of Americans do not support impeachment. The overall numbers, 57% no, 37% yes. And that matters. Okay, because remember, you've got a country that's split. Most people forget this. It's 30-30-40. 30% Republican registered, 30% registered Democrat, 40% registered independent. Did you know that? It's 30-30-40. So they're out there, and those people are like, yeah, I don't know. And it's just, here's a statement from one of the Democrat leaders. Let's be clear, no quid pro quo is required to betray our country. Trump asked a foreign government to interfere in our elections. That's betrayal enough. What? No, he did not. It's ridiculous. The New York Times today said Trump doesn't need to commit a crime to be kicked out of office. Well, according to the U.S. Constitution, he does, if that still matters. And apparently for a lot of people on the left, it doesn't. So I'm not going to lose my mind and talk about Trump and impeachment all day, every day. We're going to continue to pay attention to it. And I think this is a boomerang that Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats are going to wish they had never released. Because I guess go... It's going to come back around, probably around, this time next year, and could very well hit them right in the head. And the country might be just so sick of all this stuff that even people that don't necessarily love Trump are going to vote for him. It's going to be fascinating. Political theater, to say the least, and good for talk radio. This is Steve Noble on The Steve Noble Show. We'll switch gears. Got other things that are going to drive you nuts when we come back. Wouldn't you want to be a fly on the wall in Nancy Pelosi's office these days? This is going to be fascinating political theater. Just as a reminder, only two presidents have actually been impeached. Andrew Johnson back in the 1800s and then Bill Clinton in 1998. And only two. So this is a major historical thing. If they actually go there, I was talking to my friends on Facebook Live. And if you want to join us here in the studio, Facebook Live, just go to the Steve Noble Show page on Facebook and you can join us that way and see my... my average physical presence. There you go. But you'd be right here in the studio with us. And polling my friends on Facebook Live, pretty much it looks like on average an 8 or a 9 out of 10 that they're going to actually impeach. Again, that train is on the tracks. I don't think Nancy Pelosi is going to be able to stop it. She's going to have to do it. Hopefully it won't go anywhere in the Senate. But it's only happened twice in U.S. history, okay? This is a big deal. But I'm not going to fawn over it and talk about it every day. We've got other things going on in the world besides that. It's a big thing, no doubt, but it's going to continue to unfold. And just like everything else with the Trump administration, it's just crazy back and forth. And Trump derangement syndrome is definitely taken deep root there. It's nutso. Okay, so let's switch gears. I got two stories here that they're back to back. ABC, CBS, NBC, MSNBC, NPR, PBS all refused to cover the abortionist who kept 2,246 aborted babies in boxes in his garage. Did you know about that one? So this is an article from Life News. Look no further than the discovery of more than 2,200 dead babies in the Illinois garage of recently deceased abortionist named Ulrich Klopfer. They told us Dr. Kermit Gosnell was one of a kind in his creepy storage of dead baby parts in jars. It turns out he was a piker. Klopfer stored each fetus in a plastic bag, quote-unquote fetus, it's a child, full of medical-grade preservative, put them in boxes, more than 70 boxes, from the garage floor to the ceiling. The abortion industry is demonic to the core, and most people that are in it choose it. Okay, they're not helpless victims and slaves of Satan. They are definitely oppressed, some of them. I think some of the ones that I see on Saturdays. If you're on Facebook Live, you can see I've got my Love Life t-shirt on. And definitely at least some of the folks that I see regularly that work at abortion clinics definitely look demonically possessed and act it to me. So that's out there. And this is just proof of it. This is a darkly demonic industry. Satan loves it, loves abortion, loves the abortion industry, loves Planned Parenthood and every abortionist. So Dr. Klopfer operated three abortion clinics in Fort Wayne, Gary, and South Bend, Indiana. One man told Fox News that his mother, who was Klopfer's neighbor, always wondered what was in those boxes. This would be, if he had 2,200 dead children, one-year-olds, 18-month-olds, two-year-olds, three-month-olds, this would be international news all over the place all the time. But because it's babies who were aborted, you cannot cover that because you cannot give ground at all when your idol is death. Okay, when your God is the abortion industry, you can't give any ground. That's why they're not covering it. Only Fox News cared about this revolting story. CNN gave it 30 seconds on a weekend, and the New York Times offered one story deep inside the paper on page A22. ABC, CBS, NBC, MSNBC, NPR, PBS, the same networks that wailed for hours about the inhumanity of illegal migrant kids in cages, had no interest in something a thousandfold more horrific. At least USA Today's editorial page asked us to evaluate the coverage and noted the lack of interest. The Washington Examiner pestered presidential candidate Pete Buttigieg for days to respond to the abortionist who performed his grisly business in the town he serves as mayor. After Fox's Tucker Carlson made the same point, Buttigieg put out a statement, quote, "Like everyone, I find the news out of Illinois extremely disturbing, and I think it's important that it be fully investigated," he said. Quote, "I hope it doesn't get caught up in politics at a time when women need access to health care." What? Extremely disturbing, that's all? He couldn't even condemn it? It really wasn't that disturbing, was it? Women's access to health care. This is from the article. Orwell, call your office. Remind Buttigieg there was a garage full of women's access. Not even this angle stirred the networks to action. Isn't that sick? Pete Buttigieg. Oh, yeah, that's disturbing. What do you think? I mean, seriously, what do you think would have happened if the guy had a garage full of 2,200 dead one-year-olds or six-month-olds? The place, everything would be going ballistic. But because they were aborted, oh, we can't say that's wrong. We can't apply a moral standard there. So there's that, okay? Now, on the other side of this, that doesn't get any press, which is why we talk about it pretty regularly here on this show. This is from Daily Wire. Abortionist testifies, no question babies being born alive, for what reason? To harvest organs. Have you heard this one? Probably not. Last week, a California abortionist testified under oath that there is no question abortionists are allowing babies to be born alive in order to harvest their organs. A report from LifeSite News revealed, testifying during a preliminary hearing in the criminal case against the undercover journalists David DeLeiden and Sandra Merritt earlier in the month, Dr. Forrest Smith outlined gruesome details of the abortion business, of which he said DeLeiden and Merritt only captured the tip of the iceberg with their shocking undercover videos. These are all the undercover Planned Parenthood videos, right? Hopefully you saw those. Smith testified that it is almost certain that some of the abortionists featured in the undercover videos deliberately altered abortion procedures in a way that both led to the birth of living babies with beating hearts and put women at risk. The goal in these cases would be to obtain fresher, more intact organs. This is like Aliens movie. Satanic, exorcist, aliens, doctors being taken over by demons kind of movie. But this is real. This is happening. And our government still agrees to put $550 million a year into this deal. Well, minus $60 million. Thank you, Lord. And good job, President Trump. Smith, who had reportedly performed some 50,000 abortions, reviewed a video from the 2014 Planned Parenthood conference as an expert for the defense. Elisa Goldberg, who presented the video, quote, spoke about using large doses of the drug misoprostol in order to carry out second trimester-induced abortions in one day rather than the four it usually takes, Live Action reported. Quote, Smith testified that this would lead to a live birth. Large doses of misoprostol, said Smith, would cause tumultuous labor that leads to fetal expulsion. That's otherwise known as a birth, okay? Meaning the baby would be born without any assistance from the abortionists and no instruments would be used. He testified that very few abortionists other than Planned Parenthood do this. When pressed if this would lead to live birth, the abortionist answered, "There's no question in my mind that at least some of these fetuses were live births." Smith also noted that a baby would no question be born alive in cases where digoxin, which is used to cause heart failure and abortion. See, this is you believe it? This is real. This is not hyperbole. This is fact. And so we say, oh, yeah, I'm pro-life, but do nothing about it. And then we get mad at people who stand outside of abortion clinics and preach loudly and aggressively that that's just wrong. You shouldn't do that. You know what's going on in there? Oh, you're standing outside Auschwitz and you're preaching aggressively at people? You shouldn't do that. I know it's not an exact one-to-one comparison, but we're in the ballpark here, okay? The California abortionist said that a beating heart is what indicates a live or deceased baby as opposed to no breathing or no movement. All testimony we have seen, no breathing, no movement, no cord, he said. Arms, legs, torn off. The assumption is that is fetal demise, but that's completely wrong. The abortionist's testimony was particularly jarring since Smith once loathed David Dalyden and wished to expose him as a fraud. That changed when the doctor watched the undercover videos and spoke to Dalyden directly. "I'm going to take down that blobbity blank. He's blankety blank with me now," Smith told the court, he said, of Dalyden in 2015. According to LifeSite News, Smith then met with the journalist in August of that year with the intention of exposing Dalyden as a fraud. Smith soon realized David Dalyden was exposing the truth about the abortion industry and chillingly didn't know the half of what was going on. This is an abortionist who's done 50,000 abortions himself, all of a sudden saying, yeah, it's even worse than I thought. Worse than his own experience of killing 50,000 children? Yeah, that's true. Babies born alive so we can harvest hearts. That is real. That is happening. Prayer is not enough. We need to engage. We'll be right back. Because you are more than I could ever dream. This world could ever see. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, highlighting and talking about stories that the mainstream media never touches, and a lot of conservative media doesn't even touch it. A lot of this stuff, Fox News, you'll see an article here or there on Fox News, but it's not getting much press time. They're not doing a lot of talking about this. A lot of this stuff, because it's just too disturbing. Oh, we don't want to disturb anybody. You know what? I said this before. I want to disturb everybody. When it comes to abortion, let's disturb everybody. With grace and truth, especially for the moms down that road and the people involved in that, especially the moms that are scared and freaking out, and then they've got Planned Parenthood saying, oh, well, everybody has an abortion. It's very common. It's just not the right time for you. Take your time. It's okay. Hey, everybody's doing it. Don't worry about it. And there's some women that are just so messed up, they have 4, 5, 6, 7 abortions. I do not hate any of them. I don't even hate the abortionists. I hate what they do. And you can make a theological case that God hates them, period. But at the same time, he's willing to die for him. He did die for him. So we're going to talk about these things. I'll continue to talk about these things until God takes me off the air. And we'll continue to talk about the truth, and we'll continue to bring the gory details because you need to know, because I don't want any of us to be comfortable with the fact that this is legal in our country and they're getting away with it. Nobody should be comfortable with that. No pastor should miss an opportunity to bring it up. And one time a year on Sanctity of Life Sunday, my brothers, is not enough. In the context of a Holocaust, oh, well, you have Sanctity of Jewish Life Sunday in February or January, so we'll talk about it then. Talk about what? Oh, you know, what's going on in a couple of counties over. Well, what is going on? Well, they're kind of cooking Jewish people. Putting them in the showers, gassing them, cooking them, experimenting with them, selling body parts, stuff like that. But we do have a Sanctity of Jewish Life Sunday. So we'll talk about it then. In the meantime, don't bug me. Really? Okay. In case you're looking for something to get this Christmas, don't buy the Woke Barbie. You heard me right. Woke Barbie, Mattel releases gender-neutral dolls to meet the demand from children. And then there's a backside to this story. The reality of what's happening here as we continue to turn children into lab rats. This is from Daily Wire. Toy company Mattel on Wednesday launched a new line of dolls that are gender inclusive because, you know, kids everywhere are demanding them. Called Creatable World, The line allows children to interchange hair, clothes, and accessories on the dolls, meaning they can be both male and female. It's, sooner or later, don't think this won't happen. Sooner or later, they'll have physically accurate dolls, and you'll be able to switch genitalia. Mark my words. We see this line as an opportunity for us. This is Mattel speaking. We see this line as an opportunity for us. Let me do it in their language, okay? We see this line as an opportunity for us to open up that dialogue around what dolls are for and who dolls are for, said Kim Kalmani, Senior Vice President of Mattel Fashion Doll Design. And also, as the world begins to celebrate the positive impact of inclusivity, we absolutely fundamentally believed it was time to launch a doll line free of labels and free of rules for kids. The crowd cheers. The company says the new line is in response to demand. Kids don't want their toys dictated by gender norms. Wow. Mattel consulted pediatricians on how to make the dolls gender neutral, including pediatrician and author Kara Natterson. Natterson praised Mattel, saying, quote, "A collection like this just knocks down every barrier to play," the Daily Mail reported. "Through research," she says, "we heard that kids don't want their toys dictated by gender norms. This line allows all kids to express themselves freely, which is why it resonates so strongly with them. We're hopeful Creatable World will encourage people to think more broadly about how all kids can benefit from doll play," she said. The toy company said it worked alongside a dedicated team of experts, parents, physicians, and most importantly, kids, to come up with six different kits with varying skin tones. The doll kits sell for $29.99. Mattel's first promotional spot for the $29.99 product features a series of kids who go by various pronouns. Him, her, them, Jem, spelled Xia. And the slogan, a doll line designed to keep labels out and invite everyone in. How quaint. With this overt nod to trans and non-binary identities, the company is betting on where it thinks the country is going, even if it means alienating a substantial portion of the population. Yeah, by the way, it's about 0.2% of the population is dealing with transgenderism, okay? So 0.2% of the population dealing with transgenderism, so we come out with an entire product line for that. It's not about the money. It's about the ideology, and it's about the lies. And it's about spiritual darkness. A Pew Research survey conducted in 2017 showed that while 76% of the public supports parents steering girls to toys and activities traditionally associated with boys, only 64% endorse steering boys toward toys and activities associated with girls. What do those who call evil good and good evil? Okay, so that's kind of sick. It's kind of messed up. Playing around with kids, leading them down the wrong road, thinking it's okay. Hey, who cares the way you were made? It's just what you think. It's what you feel. Bobby, Cindy, whatever. But this has real consequences. We're not, this isn't just playing around with some parental ideology here. This has real consequences, and it turns children into lab rats, which is why I'm bringing this next story to the table. Transgender puberty blocking drug linked to thousands of deaths, FDA data reveals. This is in the Daily Wire. More than 6,300 adults have died from reactions to a drug that is used as a puberty blocker in gender-confused children, Food and Drug Administration data reportedly shows. Between 2012 and June 30th of this year, the FDA documented over 40,000 adverse reactions suffered by patients who took leuprolide acetate, which is called Lupron, which is used as a hormone blocker. More than 25,500 reactions logged from 2014 to 2019 were considered serious, including 6,370 deaths, the Christian Post reported on Thursday. This is from FDA information. Lupron is being prescribed off-label for use in children who have been diagnosed with gender dysphoria despite the lack of formal FDA approval for that purpose, the outlet explained. The drug is clinically approved for treatment of precocious puberty, a condition where children start their pubertal processes at an abnormally early age, and the blocker is administered for a short time until the proper age. Michael Laidlaw, now listen to this, this is fascinating. Michael Laidlaw, a California-based endocrinologist who exposed in April that doctors are giving testosterone to gender-confused girls as young as 8, that's children as lab rats, okay? Questioned why a psychological disorder like gender dysphoria would be treated with such drugs instead of proper psychological care. This is an emotional, mental, psychological problem that requires treatment, not a scalpel. These children and young people are struggling with this issue because many times now, I think because they're being fed it. And so And so the answer is grab some drugs and a scalpel? Oh, my goodness, Lord, help us. Quote, gender dysphoria is not an endocrine condition, but is a psychological one and should therefore be treated with proper psychological care, he said, according to the Christian Post. But it becomes an endocrine condition once you start using puberty blockers and giving cross-sex hormones to kids. As highlighted by the outlet, drug sales for Lupron in the United States in 2017 hit about $669 million, an annual report for AbbVie, which produces the drug, showed. Ultimately, it's all about money. And I don't get all crazy conservative Republican, and every time we say something negative about the healthcare industry, you think it's a liberal. No, money is behind all of this stuff, okay? Money and Satan and a secular humanistic worldview. As previously covered by the Daily Wire, Laidlaw, among other medical doctors, and a parent, listen to this, and a parent of a gender-confused child himself, sounded the alarm on the increasing use of transgender-related drugs. The professionals discovered that government-funded research now allows children as young as 8 to be put on sex hormones. 8-year-olds. There's another study done that shows about 88% of young people come out of their gender dysphoria, gender confusion, after puberty. 88%. But yet, now we're giving sex hormone-blocking drugs to kids as young as 8? God help us. Through Freedom of Information Act requests, Laidlaw and some of his colleagues found that in 2017, they lowered the minimum age for cross-sex hormones from 13 to 8. As if 13 wasn't bad enough, now it's 8. The Christian Post published in April. Imagine giving 8-year-old girls testosterone, the endocrinologist offered. They are in the third or fourth grade. This is unbelievable, but this is going on, he said. Gender-confused teen girls as young as 13, Laidlaw warned, are having their... All right, I'm about to lose it. Are having their breasts removed via mastectomy procedures, and boys the age of 17 are developing penises, the developmental age of 9-year-olds, or losing sexual sensation altogether due to hormone blockers. Laidlaw cites TLC's I Am Jazz star, Jazz Jennings, as such an example. Jazz, who is a male-to-female transgendered, has reportedly never experienced sexual sensations or organs because of puberty-blocking drugs, the endocrinologist said. Quote, under the nebulous concept of gender identity, children as young as 8 are receiving injections for gender transition treatment, explained Laidlaw. The phrase was defined in a recent court case as a person's core internal sense of their own gender and that it was the primary factor in determining their sex, not biology. He noted that the information is false. No kidding. God made them male and female. We've known this for a few thousand years. This whole thing is an experiment on children, he said. We are ignoring the voices of dissenters and people who have come out of this and recognize their sex. And the NIH is allowing unethical research to be conducted on adolescents, in my opinion. He's absolutely right. Children as lab rats. That's what happens. Just like the book of Judges, there came a generation that did not know God. That's where we're at, and that's why this is happening. God help us. This is Steve Noble. We'll be right back. So what are we waiting for? Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Just a quick reminder, 2 weeks from last night is going to be our annual event called The Worship, coming up on Thursday, October 10th. I hope you don't deprive yourself of the blessing that is waiting there for you. It's always awesome. God always shows up, and it's just a powerful night. Praise and Worship with Josh Bales, who's coming up from Florida. He was on the show the other day. Phenomenal singer-songwriter, Christian counselor, Anglican priest. That's quite a combo. He's great. And then he does liturgical readings, too, with us. So most of us don't do that anymore, but things like the Nicene Creed and the Apostles' Creed, the Common Book of Prayer, it'll be spiritually very pregnant and enriching. I'm excited about that. And then an awesome onstage interview with a family that's been through hell for the last 7 years, just a great story of hope, some ups and downs. I almost lost their son several times, rare form of childhood cancer. He's in remission right now, praise the Lord. So kind of a night of hope. It's a great time for us to get together. If you can get here, if you're mostly in North Carolina, obviously. But that's Thursday night, October 10th, and it's just a wonderful time. It's a huge blessing to me personally because I get to see a lot of people that I normally don't get to see because, you know, it's radio. It's kind of a weird one-way world in many respects. But that night, it's great. A lot of us are in the same place at the same time, so it's wonderful. It's also important for the ministry as a fundraiser. So if you want to come out, tickets are free, but we do want you to register. I'll make that easy for you. Just text the word worship. Worship. You know that one, right? Worship. Text the word worship to 66866, and then we'll send you an email. We'll find out how many tickets you need. We'll get you registered. We'll make it super easy for you. I hope to see you there Thursday, October 10th for Call to Worship. Worship to 66866. Again, just text the word worship to 66866, and you'll be good to go. Okay, so just on finish up on the abortion thing. I just want you to know how this game gets played, all right? Because a lot of women just get walked into this, and they have to make it not a big deal. It's not a big deal. Lots of people doing it. I am reading to you from PlannedParenthood.org. This is how they market the product. What Planned Parenthood makes their money on is killing children. It's not pap smears. It's not giving out condoms and stuff. It's killing children. That's how they make money. This is Baal worship. It's Midianites. It's the whole nine yard, right? Molech, the whole nine. But this is how they do it. And I'm going to use the voice that they intend for you to hear it in, okay? Is abortion the right option for me? Abortion is very common, and people have abortions for many different reasons. Only you know what's best for you, but good information and support can really help you make the decision that is best for your own health and well-being. This is from PlannedParenthood.org. Why do people decide to have an abortion? If you're thinking about having an abortion, you're so not alone. Millions of people face unplanned pregnancies every year, and about 4 out of 10 of them decide to get an abortion. Some people with planned pregnancies also get abortions because of health or safety reasons. Overall, 1 in 4 women in the U.S. will have an abortion by the time they're 45 years old. Sometimes the decision is simple. Other times, it's complicated. But either way, the decision to have an abortion is personal, and you're the only one who can make it. Everyone has their own unique and valid reasons for having an abortion. Some of the many different reasons people decide to end a pregnancy include: they want to be the best parent possible to the kids they already have. They're not ready to be a parent yet. It's not a good time in their life to have a baby. They want to finish school, focus on work, or achieve other goals before having a baby. They're not in a relationship with someone they want to have a baby with. They're in an abusive relationship or were sexually assaulted. The pregnancy is dangerous or bad for their health. The fetus won't survive the pregnancy or will suffer after birth. Or they just don't want to be a parent. Deciding to have an abortion doesn't mean you don't want or love children. In fact, 6 out of 10 people who get abortions already have kids, and many of them decide to end their pregnancies so they can focus on the children they already have. And people who aren't already parents when they get an abortion often go on to have a baby later, when they feel they are in a better position to be a good parent. The bottom line is, deciding if and when to have a baby is very personal, and only you know what's best for you and your family. What can I think about to help me decide? Family, relationships, school, work, life goals, health, safety, and personal beliefs. People think carefully about these things before having an abortion. But you're the only person walking in your shoes and the only person who can decide whether to have an abortion. The decision is 100% yours. Here are some things to consider if you're thinking about an abortion. I'm reading to you from the Planned Parenthood website, okay? This is how they market death. Am I ready to be a parent? Would I consider adoption? What would it mean for my future if I had a child now? What would it mean for my family if I had a child now? How would being a parent affect my career goals? Do I have strong personal or religious beliefs about abortion? Is anyone pressuring me to have or not have an abortion? Would having a baby change my life in a way I do or don't want? Would having an abortion change my life in a way I do or don't want? What kind of support would I need if I decided to get an abortion? What kind of support would I need if I decided to have the baby? On and on and on it goes. Can you hear the hiss of the serpent? That's exactly how Planned Parenthood sells it. And in their desperation, and in their flesh, and in their sin, yes, you're looking for justification to make a decision that you know is wrong. But ladies and gentlemen, if you're on the other side of an abortion, if you've had one through Christ, it is not an unforgivable sin. If you know him as Lord and Savior, if you're born again, he's already forgiven you of it, but you might still be carrying the burden and he doesn't want you to. You can get help for that. If you just go to my website, go to thestevenobleshow.com or find me on Facebook, I'll help you get connected. But if you're not born again, that sin is still on your ledger. And you need to confess it, all your sin. You need to confess it. You need to come to Christ because he will forgive you, even of that. That's how much he loves you. That's how powerful his blood is. Okay, two good stories to finish up, and then have a great weekend. Iran has the world's fastest growing church. I started watching this movie earlier. despite no buildings, and it's mostly led by women. There's a documentary. A new film tells the story of the fastest-growing church in the world, an underground persecuted Christian movement in a country known for exporting radical Islamic terrorism, Iran. People in Iran, a Muslim-majority nation, are fleeing Islam in droves as believers bow their knees to Jesus and become aggressively pro-Israel. According to the documentary Sheep Among Wolves, Volume 2. I started watching it. I'm going to finish it, and we're going to get a hold of the guys that made it. What if I told you Islam is dead, one identified Iranian church leader says in the film? What if I told you the mosques are empty inside Iran? What if I told you no one follows Islam inside of Iran? Would you believe me? This is exactly what is happening inside of Iran. God is moving powerfully inside of Iran. The pastor adds, what if I told you the best evangelist for Jesus was the Ayatollah Khomeini? The Ayatollahs brought the true face of Islam to light, and people discovered it was a lie. After 40 years under Islamic law, a utopia, according to them, they've had the worst devastation in the 5,000-year history of Iran, which is why we should be thanking Trump for how hard he is on Iran. More Iranians have come to faith in Jesus in the last 20 years than the 1,300 years since Islam swept through Persia. Praise the Lord! Thomas calls the movement the Iranian Awakening. It owns no property, no buildings, no central leadership, and is predominantly led by women, he said in a statement. Just awesome. Isn't that awesome? But the new believers in the Islamic Republic face great risks, of course. We know that if they get us, the first thing they will do to us as a woman is rape us, and then they will beat us, and ultimately they will kill us, one believer said. This is the decision we have made, that we want to offer our bodies as sacrifices. Because I have this thought when I wake up that when I leave that door, I might not come back. A leader of the Iranian underground church explains their goal is not planting churches, but rather making disciples. It's awesome. As a pastor explained, everything they do underground is built on prayer. We find people of peace through prayer. We even find locations through prayer, he says. Jesus has come in their dreams, or he's come miraculously in their lives. When we hear this, we know that Jesus has gone ahead of us. Fastest growing church in the world? Not some big, mega, cool place in America. It's in Iran? Man, that is awesome. So we're going to try to get a hold of these filmmakers and get them on the show. I started watching it earlier. I'll continue watching it. And it's just awesome. So it's just the blood of the Lamb. I mean, just amazing. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for doing that. Okay. Did you hear about this? National See you at the poll earlier this week. Dropped my daughter off. She's a freshman, our one and only high school public school student. Our one and only public school student. There are only 10 kids. She goes to a school of about 1,800. There are only 10 kids there at Sea at the Poll. But this other story was awesome. I shared it on Facebook. Maybe you've seen it. Stacy Philpott is a blogger, wrote this story. The air on Facebook has been a bit toxic to me lately, so I announced I'd be taking a little hiatus. I needed some space between me and all the heated political discussions, the finger-pointing and name-calling. I look forward to a wide-open space free from Facebook notifications. For this reason, a friend of mine knew I wouldn't see the thread in a local community group she tagged me in, and yet it was a tag I wouldn't want to miss, so she texted me at a heads up. At first, I couldn't understand why she felt it was so vital I see this particular thread. It was about a young man who stood alone that morning around his school's flagpole praying in observance of the annual See at the Poll Day for students. Members of the community were chiming in, praising both the student and his parents. Quote, I don't know who he is, but his mama and daddy should be proud. That takes courage. He's obviously a young man of great character, one man commented. As I scrolled through the pictures, it hit me. The boy who stood alone at the pole was my boy. They were talking about my son. The little boy I'd rocked to sleep in blue airplane pajamas when he was sick. The toddler who loved Elmo and couldn't go to sleep without holding his VeggieTales characters in his hands had captured the attention of our community by standing alone, by doing everything we'd ever taught him, everything we'd ever hoped he would do. I was completely undone, she writes. I read on through the thread. People who profess no faith commended my son for standing up for his. Some folks said there are clearly still good parents out there. Can I pause for a moment and tell you how rarely I feel like a quote-unquote good mom? As someone who battles chronic illness, then says the sensation of failing is constant in my life. There's never enough of me to go around. I never feel present enough. There's never enough time in which I can offer as much of me to my husband, my children, my community as I long to. And yet, strangers were praising my parenting. This is such an awesome story. I texted my son at school and told him, you should know that people in our community are going crazy about a young man that stood at the flagpole. They're talking about what an amazing young man he must be and how proud his parents should be. And you are an amazing young man. I love you so much. When Hayden came home from school with tears in his eyes, we read through the hundreds of comments together. He told me with sheer amazement in his voice that as he stood alone and prayed, the cry of his heart had been, God, as people drive by, let them wonder. Let their hearts be pricked. he laughed and said, it's crazy because, like, he answered in this big way. Awesome. Way to go, Hayden. Love that story. Way to go, Mom. Way to go, Stacy and Dad, whatever your name is. See, stand for the Lord even when you're the only one. And sometimes that's the best, most effective way to witness for Christ, which is exactly what he did. And now it's spreading all over the place. Praise the Lord for that. This is Steve Noble on the Steve Noble Show. God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon. And like my dad always said, ever forward.